Hare Krishna. I was not given a topic to speak on, so I asked Gaurvani Prabhu yesterday if he could give me a direction on what to speak. And he told me I should speak on the subject of the Festival of Inspiration. So I would like to speak something about inspiration. And one of my greatest inspirations in my spiritual life has been Srila Prabhupada's concluding words to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he explains where he has derived his inspiration. In the words I'm about to read to you, we really find the very essence of what is Krishna consciousness and how to become Krishna conscious. Please listen very carefully. This is being written just after the Antyalila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Concluding words by Srila Prabhupada. Today, Sunday, November 10th, 1974, corresponding to the 10th of Kartik, Chaitanya era, 488, the 11th day of the dark fortnight, the Ram Ekadasi, we have now finished the English translation of Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in accordance with the authorized order of His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj, my beloved eternal spiritual master, guide, and friend. Although according to material vision, His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada passed away from this material world on the last day of December 1936, I still consider His Divine Grace to be always present with me by His Vani, His words. There are two ways of association, by Vani and by Vapu. Vani means words, and Vapu means physical presence. Physical presence is sometimes appreciable and sometimes not, but Vani continues to exist eternally. Therefore, we must take advantage of the Vani, not the physical presence. The Bhagavad Gita, for example, is the Vani of Lord Krishna. Although Krishna was personally present 5,000 years ago and is no longer physically present from the materialistic point of view, the Bhagavad Gita continues. In this connection, we may call to memory the time when I was fortunate enough to meet His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, sometime in the year 1922. Srila Prabhupada had come to Calcutta from Sridham Mayapur to start the missionary activities of the Gaudiya Math. He was sitting in a house at Ultadunga Junction, and when through the inducement of an intimate friend, the late Sriman Narendranath Malik, I had the opportunity to meet His Divine Grace for the first time. I do not remember the actual date of the meeting, but at that time, I was one of the managers of Dr. Bose's laboratory in Calcutta. I was a newly married young man, addicted to Gandhi's movement and dressed in khadi. Fortunately, even at our first meeting, His Divine Grace advised me to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English in the Western countries. Because at that time I was a complete nationalist, a follower of Mahatma Gandhi, I submitted to His Divine Grace that unless our country were freed from foreign subjugation, no one would hear the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seriously. Of course, we had some argument on this subject, but at last I was defeated and convinced that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message is the only panacea for suffering humanity. I was also convinced that the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was then in the hands of a very expert devotee, and that surely the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would spread all over the world. I could not, however, immediately take up his instructions to preach, but I took his words very seriously and was always thinking of how to execute his order, although I was quite unfit to do so. In this way, I passed my life as a householder until 1950, when I retired from family life as a vanaprastha. With no companion, I loitered here and there until 1958, when I took sannyas. Then I was completely ready to discharge the order of my spiritual master. Previously, in 1936, just before His Divine Grace passed away at Jagannath Puri, I wrote him a letter asking what I could do to serve him. In reply, he wrote me a letter dated 13th December 1936, ordering me in the same way to preach in English the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as I had heard it from him. After he passed away, I started the fortnightly magazine Back to Godhead sometime in 1944 and tried to spread the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through this magazine. After I took sannyas, a well-wishing friend suggested that I write books instead of magazines. Magazines, he said, might be thrown away, but books remain perpetually. Then I attempted to write Srimad Bhagavatam. Before that, when I was a householder, I had written on Srimad Bhagavad Gita and had completed 1,100 pages, but somehow or other, the manuscript was stolen. In any case, when I had published Srimad Bhagavatam first canto in 3 volumes in India, I thought of going to the USA. By the mercy of His Divine Grace, I was able to come to New York on September 17th, 1965. Since then, I have translated many books, including Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a summary, and many others. In the meantime, I was induced to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and publish it in an elaborate version. In his leisure time, in later life, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would simply read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was his favorite book. He used to say that there would be a time when foreigners would learn the Bengali language to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The work on this translation began about 18 months ago. Now, by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it is finished. In this connection, I have to thank my American disciples, especially Sriman Pradyumna Das Adhikari, Sriman Nitai Das Adhikari, Sriman Jai Adwaita Das Brahmachari, and many other boys and girls who are sincerely helping me in writing, editing, and publishing all these literatures. Please listen carefully. Prabhupada continues, I think that His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is always seeing my activities and guiding me within my heart by His words. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhakavaye, spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature is always sitting with all His devotees and associates. Shall I repeat? This is the essence of all our hopes. Spiritual inspiration comes from within the heart, wherein the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature is always sitting with all His devotees and associates. It is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of my spiritual master, because personally I am most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible work. I do not think myself a very learned scholar, but I have full faith in the service of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to His Divine Grace. Certainly, if His Divine Grace were physically present at this time, it would have been a great occasion for jubilation. But even though He is not physically present, I am confident that He is very much pleased by this work of translation. He was very fond of seeing many books published to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, has been formed to execute the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It is my wish that devotees of Lord Chaitanya all over the world enjoy this translation. And I am glad to express my gratitude to the learned men in the Western countries who are so pleased with my work that they are ordering in advance all my books that will be published in the future. On this occasion, therefore, I request my disciples who are determined to help me in this work to continue their cooperation fully, so that philosophers, scholars, religionists, and people in general all over the world will benefit by reading our transcendental literatures, such as Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, dated November 10th, 1974, at the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, Hare Krishna Land, Juhu, Bombay. Srila Prabhupada is herein explaining the source of all spiritual inspiration is coming from the Lord seated within our heart, who is accompanied by all his devotees and associates. In Srila Prabhupada's writing, again and again, he reminds us of this fact, that true spiritual inspiration is coming from the Lord within the heart. Prabhupada explains that from a psychological perspective, within us, we have the capacity of thinking, feeling, and willing. It is through this thinking, feeling, and willing psychological process that we get impetus to speak and to act. And Prabhupada explains it is that impetus which is inspiration. When our thinking and feeling and willing is subjugated by material nature, we are inspired to satisfy our egoistic, mental, and sensual desires. And that is the cause of all bondage, which is the cause of all suffering. But Srila Prabhupada explains, when we get our inspiration from the spiritual master, from the scriptures, from the Lord within the heart, then we can make genuine, tangible, and confident process toward the ultimate goal of life. In one of Prabhupada's purports, he says that just as heat is the energy that sustains the entire material existence, inspiration coming from the Lord within the heart is the energy that engages us in devotional service. So the real, most important question in our life is how to find that inspiration from the Lord within our heart. The Lord is so kind that he manifests his voice, he manifests his will through his representatives or through his instruments within this world. Guru is the voice of the Paramatma. The scriptures is the voice of the Paramatma. The sadhus is the voice of the Paramatma. Where the Lord within our heart is inducing us to be inspired in the path of bhakti. Prabhupada explains how by remembering Krishna, we become inspired by the Lord within the heart. He told the devotees, that is why we open these temples. That is the purpose of deity worship. When we dress the deities very nicely and people see the Lord so nicely, they're seeing with their eyes the Paramatma within the heart. We become inspired to serve. When we cry out the holy names, we awaken the Lord's mercy to inspire us within our hearts. Because without inspiration, spiritual progress is impossible. Dhruva Maharaj, just by the words of his mother, Krishna within the heart spoke through Suniti, his mother. He was inspired with such determination to overcome all obstacles and ultimately see the Lord face to face. Prahlad Maharaj was inspired by the Lord through his Gurudev, Narada Muni. And that inspiration gave him the courage, the faith to undergo unbelievable difficulties with a completely happy heart. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he explains his inspiration. He says that I am very old, I am invalid, I am the lowest and most fallen, I have no proper qualifications. How is it that I am writing this great book, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? He said it is all happening because by the causeless mercy of the Lord and his devotees, I have been inspired to do so. What is the power of that inspiration? Kaviraj Goswami began this work when he was in his 90s. He says, I am invalid. He wasn't seeing properly. He had rheumatism. He could die at any moment. But somehow, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Vaishnavas, he was carrying on his translations. In the concluding words we have just read from Srila Prabhupada, he explains that materially, for him to translate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is impossible. However, because of the inspiration he has received by the mercy of his Guru Maharaj, he has finished the great work. And in the footsteps of all of these other great souls, Srila Prabhupada, he reveals the essence of how to be empowered by this inspiration. His determination, his faith, his humility. He says, I have no qualifications. I'm not a learned scholar. In one place, Prabhupada says, I'm not a bona fide scholar. How is this happening? Prabhupada gives all credit to his Guru Maharaj, who is manifesting his mercy through inspiration. Association with devotees is critical for our inspiration. Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu the 64 principal limbs of bhakti. But he explains that we cannot follow any of them without proper association of sincere devotees. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness was established by Prabhupada for this simple reason, for devotees to come together to inspire one another with the words of Guru and Krishna, and together with that inspiration to inspire the whole world. Prabhupada taught us that one of the greatest ways of accessing inspiration is to inspire others. Prabhupada put great emphasis on preaching. Because as we try to inspire others, we please Krishna, and he who is the source of all spiritual inspiration inspires us. That is the fundamental principle of why Prabhupada established the New Vrindavan community. To inspire a place for the devotees to be inspired, and through that accumulated inspiration to inspire the world. He wanted it to be a place of pilgrimage where people could come together to be inspired, to remember Krishna, to serve Krishna, and to love Krishna. He wanted a community of simple living, high thinking, which is conducive to the inspiration to surrender to the loving service of the Lord. When a devotee is inspired, there is no impediment possible in the entire material creation that could distract us from our purpose. When a devotee is inspired, the more difficulties and setbacks come upon his or her path, the more that devotee is determined and takes shelter of Krishna. When we take shelter of Krishna, we do not become discouraged, we become encouraged. That is the secret of happiness. We read in Srila Prabhupada's concluding words that when he was a householder, he wrote 1,100 pages in a manuscript of his purport to Bhagavad Gita. That's not an easy thing, 1,100 pages, especially when you're working in Dr. Bose's laboratory and doing all sorts of other activities. That took him a long time. Prabhupada said, it was stolen somehow or other. But was he discouraged? Taking shelter of the words of his Guru Maharaj to do this work, only inspired with him greater and greater and greater enthusiasm. Srila Prabhupada is our acharya. His example is what we must study and follow in order to be successful in life. Srila Prabhupada and Jaladutta, several heart attacks in the Arabian Sea, and yet he's writing in his diary, how far I am from Vrindavan, my home. How much deeply I am feeling separation from Radha Damodar, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan. All alone, with no other devotees. But Prabhupada said, but I am happy, I am glad, because I am doing the wish of my spiritual master. That is inspiration. And in the Bowery, even after so many setbacks, even after so many invitations and warnings, come home, come back to India, Prabhupada was inspired to carry on because he had faith, because his Guru Maharaj, he knew, was showering his mercy upon him. The strength and the empowerment of our movement is very much dependent on how we strive to inspire one another. Maya is contagious, and enthusiasm for devotional service, bhakti, is also contagious. So do we want to spread the disease of Maya, or do we want to spread the blessing of bhakti? Any conditioned soul, just pushed around, defeated, and trampled upon by Maya, anyone can complain. Anyone can find faults. Anyone can become discouraged and find reasons to give up and blame others for their problems. Sometimes we try to blame others for our problems because we think that that will make us look great. Yes? I'm great. Whatever faults you see, whatever problems, whatever shortcomings are due to this situation or this person. But what is a great person? Prabhupada writes in Krishna Book that one's greatness has to be estimated by one, how one is able to tolerate provoking situations. And what is that tolerance? That means to remain inspired, to remain positive and faithful and optimistic, even in the most difficult, tragic situations. That is the substance of our sincerity. And Krishna puts the greatest souls in predicaments of such difficulties and even failures just to show how they remain positive and inspired to carry on. Tateinukampam susamikshimano bunjana evat vikritam vipaga. It's very important to talk about miserable situations because it's part and parcel of life. Depending on how we respond to our failures and our miseries is really what determines how close we become to God. Because they will come, inevitably, whoever we are. Haridas Thakur, he was being beaten in 22 marketplaces, being brutally tortured, blasphemed, dragged by the hair in public. Was he discouraged? He was in ecstasy. I don't deserve this service. That's what he was thinking. I do not deserve to serve the Lord in this way. This is such an honor that I'm being allowed to be tortured for the sake of Krishna. That's wonderful. He was smiling. He was chanting the whole time. His inspiration made him transcendental. The apostles of Lord Jesus, they were so inspired by the example of their guru that they were happy, they were honored, they were enthused to be murdered. Some were crucified upside down, some had their heads cut off, some were lanced to death. All they had to do was just go to a private place and do their bhajan. Nobody would have bothered them. But they were so inspired that they were fearless. They never complained. This is the principle, the universal principle of spirituality. Even if there are 100 million reasons to find faults, to complain, or to give up, for a person who understands the Lord in the heart, even a little, they are all irrelevant. Irrelevant. Because there's one reason to carry on. And what is that reason? It's what Guru and Krishna want. So really, communities are based on this principle. To create an environment where we are all inspired. And what does it take to make such a community? If we do not feel cared for, if we do not feel valued, if we do not feel loved, if we do not feel encouraged, then it's very easy to feel disconnected. And when we're disconnected and we take shelter of other alternative ways of finding some stability, some security in life, then we lose that connection with the Paramatma. And we're not inspired. I would like to speak on today's subject by giving one of the most illustrious, glorious examples of a personality who was so deeply inspired and who gave his life to inspire others. And then discuss briefly his last message. We are speaking of His Holiness Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Sunday, I spoke to him at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He was so lucid, eloquent in his wisdom, his gratitude, his realizations, and his happiness. Although, on a physical point of view, he's in such untold suffering condition, we cannot even imagine. He told me that he did not think he would live more than a few days. When I went to see him 2 weeks ago, he told me that there were big tumors growing all over his body. Very painful. Sunday, his nurse told me that the bone connecting his shoulder to his arm has just broken. Very difficult. One of his legs amputated. If we look at him, if we think about him, what do we have to complain about? What little things are going on in our life that's discouraging us? He's emaciated. He practically only has half his body, and that half is just deteriorating day by day. I'd like to tell you some of the things he told me. He said, "These are the happiest days of my life. I am so grateful. Because I could not have done in 30 years the quality of service that I'm offering to Prabhupada and the devotees as I have offered in the last 3 months." He's getting phone calls, visitors, letters, emails from thousands and thousands of devotees from all over the world. Many of them have been alienated from active devotional service for years. And they're writing him, telling him how they are being so inspired once again to be Krishna conscious just by hearing of his example on his deathbed. He lived to inspire devotees. He was explaining to me how during Prabhupada's physical presence in this world, he was so inspired by Prabhupada's words, by Prabhupada's mission. He just wanted to share that inspiration in every possible way. And we know the famous stories of when he was behind the Iron Curtain in the communist countries, risking his life, accepting so many very, very impossible austerities with bliss. Just the other day, Gurudas Prabhu, who traveled with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who was then Ghanashyam Prabhu in the communist nations, was explaining some of their situations. It's very dangerous, very fearful. And many times he was alone. But his creative enthusiasm just empowered him to do incredible services. He was writing to Prabhupada regular reports of how he was putting these books in the libraries of institutions throughout lands where religion was illegal. Hare Krishna. Running from police, running from KGBs, running from all kinds of other official forces, running from his life. And when Prabhupada would read these, he would become ecstatic. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was Prabhupada's personal secretary during Prabhupada's last days. Prabhupada was showing this example. This is where Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj got his inspiration. Through impossible predicaments, Prabhupada pushed forward. He started this movement after several heart attacks, the age of 70, in poverty, in a foreign country, with no help whatsoever from anyone except Guru and Krishna in his heart. Just a couple months after he began his mission, he had a stroke. He carried on, opened 108 centers, translated volumes and volumes of books with purports, preached to all classes of human society, from heads of states to heads of religion to common hippies to children. No discrimination of who was fit or unfit. So enthusiastic, traveled around the world over 12 times. And when he was in his last lila of departing from the world, he was utterly emaciated. Doctors told the devotees, his physical condition is so excruciatingly painful, nobody could possibly comprehend it. But Prabhupada was still giving guidance, inspiring devotees. We see that famous video of Yadubar Prabhu, where in his last days, when he could hardly, he didn't even have the strength to talk hardly, he was translating Srimad Bhagavatam with Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj holding his dictaphone to his mouth, and Pradyumna Prabhu, he couldn't see, hardly. Pradyumna Prabhu was reading the Sanskrit, and Prabhupada was translating and writing his purports. Never gave up. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he captured that spirit of Srila Prabhupada in his heart of hearts. And when Prabhupada was in his last days, laying on that bed in Vrindavan, Tamal Krishna Goswami explains, his greatest joy was hearing the letters coming in from Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Maharaj could have gone to Vrindavan to be by his guru's side, but he was giving Prabhupada greater pleasure by being in the communist countries, risking his life to preach. Prabhupada said, these letters are the greatest medicine. And his godbrothers and other Goswamis and friends would come in, and Prabhupada would ask Tamal Krishna Goswami to read the letters of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj to them also. He was so proud. And we have seen how much he dedicated his life to inspire others. Have any of you ever seen him dance in kirtan? Being his close servant, I would be with him for sometimes many days at a time. And sometimes he was really ill and had no sleep at all. And so many political, social anxieties were coming upon him. Just revolutions between the devotees in Africa.
people being, devotees being killed by governments in Africa. Various situations of people coming with their anguishes within ISKCON. That was in his mind, body, sick as anything, no sleep. And yet when kirtan would start, even teenage people, even teenage devotees could not keep up with him. Why? Why did he dance like that in kirtan? Why did he sing like that in kirtan? Because he wanted to inspire us the way Prabhupada inspired him. Recently, I was in Italy, and one of Bhakti Tirtha Swami's disciples was speaking to me. And I said, please, you'll have to speak louder, because I've been in too many kirtans with your Guru Maharaj playing that drum. My ears are still blessed by that experience. How he would play, how he would sing, how he would dance, how he would give his lectures. He just gave everything. He gave his heart, his soul, all of his energy in any situation, just to serve the Vaishnav community by trying to give us inspiration. Because he knew, and we would discuss it often, that unless devotees are inspired, then all the things that they're doing in Krishna consciousness will not be fulfilling or satisfying to their hearts. And they will not really be empowered to do great things. We have to inspire the devotees. And this he did. Everything he did was with such incredible enthusiasm. Even in dark moments, he would have that incredible, effulgent smile just to inspire us. As I was talking to him, he told why these were the happiest moments of his life. Because if my suffering, if my condition of being about to die can create a sense of unity, a sense of inspiration in the hearts of the devotees, he said, I would not trade this situation for any other situation in the world. Sunday he was telling me about the incredible pain he was in. But he said, it's inconceivable. Although I've never experienced any pain, anything like this, I've never experienced happiness like this. Because it was giving him an opportunity to really reach into people's hearts and enliven people's lives. This is example. Yesterday we read his last message to the devotees of the world. I would like to touch on just a few points of that last message, written May 6th, 2005. He told how life is like being on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Both internally and externally, material life is a battle. And Bhagavad Gita is to teach us how to fight this battle. And Arjuna is the example. When Arjuna was on that battlefield, he became very morose. He was depressed. Became pale white, mouth dry, limbs trembling. This great heroic bowman could not even hold his bow. He was in anguish, mentally, seeing the impossible, ridiculous situation that was in front of him. Brothers, cousins, family members, and friends ready to kill each other. If we really think about that setting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it's very deep. Sometimes we read it, but we don't really put our heart into trying to understand what Arjuna was seeing. He loved his cousins. He loved his brothers, all of them. And they were assembled with weapons and armies to kill each other. He was perplexed. He was depressed. He was distressed. But Krishna spoke. The Paramatma within his heart was standing right on the chariot with him. And the Bhagavad Gita, all the words of Bhagavad Gita were meant for one purpose: to inspire Arjuna to perform his devotional service in the right divine state of consciousness. And he did. Arjuna was so inspired, so determined to fight. So Maharaj Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he's telling us that yes, we are on a battlefield. Don't expect so many comforts on a battlefield. Don't expect everything to go your way on a battlefield. If we don't believe it's a battlefield, we'll have all kinds of false expectations, which are going to cause us so much disappointment. Well, first of all, he's telling us, be conscious of this. Life in this world is a battlefield. And Krishna and Prabhupada and the great acharyas have taught us how to fight this battle. There will be setbacks. But Maharaj tells us in his last message that these setbacks should make us strong. If we have inspiration, these setbacks will make us stronger and stronger and stronger. Maharaj explained that sometimes devotees, they perform tremendous amount of devotional service. And when they're just on that point where they're really about to be divinely empowered by Krishna, Maya distracts them. And they enter into a downfall. He explains how at every level of our devotional service progress, we will come to crossroads. These crossroads are times when we have to make a choice. Are we going to choose the path of selfless service and true success? Or are we going to choose the path of temporary failure? Success and failure is not the situation. Success and failure, spiritually, is just based upon what choices we make when we come to those crossroads. And Maharaj explains in bold print, ultimately, all we have is each other. Sunday, I asked Maharaj, I have no idea what I'm going to speak in this plenary session. Can you give me just one word that might help me? And he said, ultimately, all we have is each other. We need each other. When you're on a battlefield, you can't fight a war by yourself. You need your comrades. We may have all kinds of different backgrounds. We have may have all kinds of different personalities. We have may all different types of habits. But we need each other desperately, because Maya is a very, very powerful enemy. And she has the whole world as her army. And she has so many weapons, both from within and without, that she's attacking us with. Prabhupada said, united we stand, divided we fall. We need each other. It's urgent. It's desperate. If you're in the battlefield, in the front lines, and the enemy's shooting and throwing bombs and hand grenades and everything else, your fellow soldiers, you're all protecting each other. Protecting my fellow soldier is as important as protecting myself, because without him, I die. Without her, I die. Yes? A good army is an army that learns everyone is responsible for protecting each other. Even if that person may come from a different caste or a different race, or even if that person has a personality that you really just don't like, or even if that person has made all sorts of mistakes and offended you in the past, those things are temporary. Those things are really irrelevant. What's the only thing that's relevant is I need you and you need me. This is called Vaishnav community. We need each other. We have to forgive each other. We have to be tolerant with each other. We have to see the good in each other. Not as a matter of niceness, but as a matter of absolute necessity for our spiritual life. Maharaj was explaining to us, he's 55 years old. And he was, his whole life practically, he was in very good health. So vibrant, so full of energy, so quickly, just in the last, not even a year, just in the last several months, physically he's just gone so far down. We do not know. We do not know what's going to come upon us from without, and we don't know what's happening within us. Death could come at any moment. Disease could come at any moment. Pain could come at any moment. It doesn't matter how wealthy we are. It doesn't matter how powerful we are. It doesn't matter how skilled we are. Padam padam yad vipadam nate sham. There's danger at every step. Whatever our situation, Maharaj's message is we need each other. We have to learn how to protect each other, care for each other, and through the process, inspire each other. One of the greatest possible services you can do for another devotee is by your example to inspire them to take shelter of the holy name, to take shelter of the holy deity, to take shelter of the philosophy, to take shelter of devotional service. And Maharaj, he explained that ultimately we should be a genuine family. And what is the special feature of a genuine family is we share our failures as well as our successes with each other. We share each other's hearts in good times, bad times. In glorification or in persecution, in success or in failure. We're here for each other. Isn't that what family life is about? No matter what you do, you have faith that your mother, your father, your brothers, they may not agree with you, but they'll be there to support you, and they'll do anything and everything to help you. Yes? In my own personal life, if I may say something, a great strength I once received is when I was first leaving home for college. And I performed many naughty activities, I must confess. I will not go into any details for your sake. But my father told me, and he started crying. He said, "Son," said, "you should know I'm always with you. Whether I like what you do or don't like with you, I'm always here. I'm always for you." He said, "If you become a drug addict, if you become a murderer," he said, "nothing will change that. I'll always be there for you." That gives you strength. That's a physical relationship. Prabhupada has given us a spiritual family with spiritual relationships, transcendent to all egoistic principles. How much more we should be there for each other. Because for most devotees, they need this sense of stability in relation to devotees to be inspired. Prabhupada gave that. Prabhupada wasn't giving money. People were giving. Giriraj Swami left a multi-million-dollar family of situation to live in a mosquito infested, rat infested swamp in India, where malaria and persecution and people were trying to tear down everything they were doing. It was very, very difficult. Foreign land. His father came and offered him $1 million to come home. And his reply was, "My Guru Maharaj has given me a wealth that you can never, but that all your money can never, ever, ever compare to." And what was that wealth? The inspiration and faith that Prabhupada gave his heart. He performed severe difficulties with happiness and fulfillment. In those few devotees that were gathered there, Gurudas Prabhu was there at that time. They were a family. They were there for each other. They gave each other strength and inspiration. So devotees need that. Great paramhamsas. They're simply giving. But in a preaching mission, we must know that if we want to actually inspire devotees to really pursue the path of pure devotional service, they must feel that support. It's not simply a matter of money. It's a matter of the service attitude. That I'm here for you. I'm there for you. I'm for you. We are for each other. This is Maharaja's last message. Ultimately, all we have is each other. Because it's in our relationships, it's in our association that we can achieve Krishna. Maharaj explained, when we come to these crossroads of tests, without humility and quality association, we will choose the path of temporary failure. And yesterday's letter, he concluded by explaining that when we live and work for the welfare of others, then Krishna will be very, very pleased to hear our prayers. Bhakti means to serve with devotion. I'm going to see Maharaj immediately after I finish this lecture. In his condition, he has to struggle so much every Sunday to give a lecture to the devotees. Most people in his condition, days away from death, they're just laying there. How is he able to do this? Physically, it's impossible. But he just has so much inspiration, and he has so much enthusiasm, and he has such a desire to inspire all of us that he does so. How many of you saw the video of his talk yesterday? His presentation of subtle points of the philosophy was so clear. I cannot speak like that even when I'm in the optimum health. This is not just charisma. This is empowerment. The empowerment of giving himself completely. And he wrote in his last message why he chose to leave his body in Gita Nagari instead of Vrindavan Dham or Mayapur Dham. Because he wants to show the world the greatness of Prabhupada and the greatness of Prabhupada's missionary vision. Prabhupada has created these temples and these communities, and because Prabhupada has established them, because Prabhupada has inspired them, they are holy places. Wherever there's the mercy of Guru, that is the holiest of all holy places. A lesson to the world. He wants us to really, really appreciate and honor the sanctity of Prabhupada's work. Out of sheer compassion, Prabhupada left Vrindavan at a very old age in ill health to bring Vrindavan to the world. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains how New Vrindavan is non-different than Goloka Vrindavan. Now, how to realize that is the challenge. He said New Vrindavan is non-different than Goloka Vrindavan because everyone is centering their activities around the loving service of Krishna. And just to show you, I'm not canvassing, I'll continue the purport. Then Prabhupada continues and said, all our centers in all our temples throughout the world are non-different than Goloka Vrindavan. Wherever the devotees are gathered together with unified hearts for the service of Krishna, that is Vrindavan. Now, there are many smarta Brahmins and others who do not believe these things. But Prabhupada had that faith. And Bhakti Tirtha Swami had that faith. The time of death is the ultimate of life. He could have gone to Vrindavan or Mayapur. Why is he staying in Pennsylvania? Because he wants to show the world his faith that Prabhupada has made these places sacred. They are Vrindavan, where the devotees are gathered together to lovingly share inspiration to hear and chant the glories of the Lord with each other. Hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting the names of the Lord is the only way in this age of Kali to awaken ecstatic love of God. But the inspiration of devotees who have a proper service attitude toward each other is the means of really, really accessing the proper consciousness to chant the holy names and hear the glories of the Lord. Because studying of the scripture is not just an academic, theoretical endeavor. The whole purpose of studying the scripture is to purify our heart and awaken the character and qualities of a true Vaishnava. Humility, devotion, service attitude, not a fault-finding or egoistic mood. If we're egoistic about being scholars of the Vedas, we miss the whole point. If we have a position and we feel that we are superior to others, we miss the whole point. Trinarapi sunichena taror ibase hishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. That is the point. Humility, tolerance, respect. No expectations. That is our goal. So let us, on this very special day of the conclusion of the Festival of Inspiration, offer from our heart of hearts deep gratitude to Srila Bhaktitirtha Swami Maharaj, who has given his life to inspire us. And with that inspiration, let us try to follow in his footsteps. And hear his words with great attention. Thank you very, very much.